For whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16.
God don't do anything by chance. This morning, I had the TV on and wasn't paying much attention. All of a sudden, this guy started talking. And he was talking about a fellow that was a one-armed guy in France. And his father was a winemaker and wanted him to become one too, but he didn't. He wanted to write songs. So he did. And so the song... In the war between France and Germany, there was a lull in the fighting. And this Frenchman in the trench started singing this song. Excuse me. Oh, holy night. Anyway. In my reading today is France, of all things. In France, the nativity crib is often used to help decorate the house. French cribs have clay figures in them. During December, some towns and cities have fairs that sell nativity figures. Yule logs made out of cherry wood are often burned in French homes. The log is carried into the house on Christmas Eve and is sprinkled with red wine to make the log smell nice when it is burning. There is a custom that the log and the candles are left burning all night with some food and drinks left out in case Mary and the baby Jesus comes past. During the night, the main Christian meal is eaten on Christmas Eve, early Christmas morning, after people have returned from the midnight church service.
Stand with us.
Shepherds, what is true?
Good morning. Merry Christmas. Poland. Advent is the beginning of the Christmas time. People try to be peaceful and remember the real reason for Christmas. People try not to have excesses of anything. Some people give up their favorite foods or drinks, and parties are not widely held. Special masses or communion services, called Rotary, are held at dawn and dedicated to Mary for receiving the good news from the angel of Gabriel. People prepare their houses by heavy cleaning, including windows, carpets, and much like our spring cleaning. The main meal is eaten on Christmas Eve. Sometimes straw is put on the floor of the room and under the tablecloth to remind people that Jesus was born in a stable or cow shed. No food is eaten until the first star is seen in the sky. On the table, there are 12 dishes. They are meant to give you good luck for the next 12 months. The meal is traditionally meat-free to remember the animals who took care of the baby Jesus. Some people in central Poland say that at midnight, the animals can talk.
Christmas trees were first made popular in England by Prince Albert, the husband of Queen Victoria. Prince Albert was German, and though that thought that would be good to bring one of his German ways of celebrating Christmas to England. Holly, ivy, and mistletoe are used to decorate homes or other buildings. Lots of British churches have carols by candlelight service, where the church is only lit up by candles. Father Christmas leaves presents in stockings or pillowcases. These are normally hung up by the fire or by the children's beds on Christmas Eve. Children sometimes leave out mince pies and brandy for Father Christmas to eat and drink when he visits them. Children write letters to Father Christmas, but sometimes instead of mailing them, the letters are tossed into the fireplace. The draft carries the letters up the chimney, and Father Christmas reads the smoke. Holly and ivy. Holly and ivy are traditionally used as decorations for the Roman celebration Saturnalia in honor of their god Saturn. During the celebrations, Christians were persecuted even more than normal. Many decorated the outside of their homes with holly and ivy to try to escape persecution, while inside they would have secret worships. In time, they began to find symbols of salvation in the holly. The thorns represented the crowns of thorns, and the red berries represented the dots of blood shed for our salvation. Just as the holly and ivy were once symbols of pagan worship, so we were once pagan in our beliefs. Now the holly and the ivy symbolize our relationship to him, and our lives are used to honor our Lord Jesus.
The holly and the ivy, when they are both full grown, of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears a crown. The holly bears a blossom as white as lily flower, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ to be our dear Savior. The holly bears a berry as red as any blood, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ to do for sinners good. The holly bears a prickle as sharp as any thorn, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ on Christmas Day in the morn. The holly bears a bark as bitter as the gall, and all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears a crown. The holly and the ivy, when they are both full grown, of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears.
But we're not professionals. Freilich Weihnachten. That's German for Merry Christmas. A big part of Christmas celebrations in Germany is Advent. Several different types of Advent calendars are used in German homes. There are ones made out of a wreath of fir tree branches, with 24 decorated boxes or bags hanging from it. Each box or bag has a little present in it. Christmas trees are very important in Germany. If there are young children in the house, the trees are usually secretly decorated by the mother of the family. The Christmas tree was traditionally brought into the house on Christmas Eve. In some parts of Germany, during the evening, the family would read the Bible and sing Christmas songs. The idea of Christingles services came from a Moravian church in Germany in 1747. Christingle means Christ-like, and it's used to celebrate Jesus Christ as the light of the world. The minister, John D. Vaudeville, gave children at the service a lighted candle with a red ribbon around it. This represented Jesus being the light of the world, and the final prayer of that first service was, "Lord Jesus, kindle a flame in these children's hearts, that theirs, like thine, become." It is usually held on the Sunday before Christmas or on Christmas Eve. Stille Nacht was originally a German carol. Stille Nacht, heilige Nacht, alle schläft, einsam war, nur das Traute hoch, heilige Paar, holder Knabe im glückigen Haar, schlaf in himmlischer Ruhe, schlaf in himmlischer Ruhe. Stille Nacht, heilige Nacht. Hear them erst, kund, game on. Dirt, der Engel, alleluia. Tont, es laut, von fern, kund, Christ, der Retter, is da. Christ, der Retter, is da. Stille Nacht, heilige Nacht, Gottes Sohn, wo die Lacht, lieb aus deinem göttlichen Mund, da uns schlägt die Rette des Stunds, Christ in deiner
Spain. Most people go to midnight mass called the Mass of the Rooster. It is called this because a rooster is supposed to have crowed the night that Jesus was born. After the midnight service, one old tradition was for people to walk through the streets carrying torches, playing guitars, and beating on tambourines and drums. One Spanish saying is, "Tonight is the good night and is not meant for sleeping." One Christmas Eve tradition is that you eat 12 grapes, with the 12 strokes of the clock at midnight for luck in the new year. Each grape represents a month of the coming year. Another festival celebrating this Christmas story is called Epiphany, and is celebrated on January 6th. Epiphany celebrates when the kings or wise men brought gifts to the baby Jesus. Children have some presents on Christmas Day, but most are opened at Epiphany. They believe the kings bring presents to them at Epiphany. They write letters to them asking for gifts. On Epiphany Eve, they leave shoes on windowsills or under the tree to be filled with presents. Children leave gifts for the kings too. A glass of cognac for each king, a Satsuma orange, and some walnuts. Sometimes a bucket of water is left for the camels. Right? So we'll go on. This is our time to come together as a congregation, share your concern, your praises, and what's going on in your life this time of year. So we'll pass the microphone around and share with us, and we'll remember you throughout the week in prayer.
It looks like we're going to have a white Christmas. Jeannie is home. She got up yesterday morning and her knee, right knee, was swollen up about that day, a great day. And so we need prayer for healing. And we pray for travelers today. Thank you.
I heard an update on Brian Ashby, that he's coming to the end of his chemotherapy and he's responding to it. So they are now looking more hopeful about everything. And then Alan Ashby's wife got pneumonia, and while she was in there, they discovered she's going to need heart surgery. So some prayer for them. Their family's being hit really hard, but.
I just want to give praise for the fact that this time of year is usually a pretty stressful time of year for me. And this year I've been having a lot more peace, and I just want to thank God for that peaceful feeling.
We have a praise. Donnie's home hasn't been home in 6 years. Here with his wife and 7 children. So we're very blessed.
I noticed the church is tilted a little bit to this
side. We're listening.
Good to have you home, Donnie.
Good to be home.
Anybody else?
You can pray for Margie. She must be having problems. And Adam and Tammy, continue to pray for them.
I'd like prayer for our company going into a new time with my boss heading down to Boise for political things, and just hope that they all have a good Christian base down there as well.
I was just looking at one of these signs down here the girls had up there a while ago. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. He'll forgive your sins and he'll save you, save your soul.
So I was going to ask for prayer for Hannah today, but in light of Ashby's and things that are going on, I think I'll just praise that she's doing as well as she is, and that, you know, he keeps uplifting her and just help us to find out whatever might be the base of her issues. And that my friend Stacy could join us today.
Bow with me. Father, we just thank you for this time of year. We get together with family, friends, and celebrate the activities and festivities. And Father, help us not to forget the true reason your son has died on the cross for our sins, Father, just for salvation. And there is a hope and a peace, joy, and love that you have promised us. Father, you've heard the many requests this morning. We pray that you will answer each one in a way that is appropriate and that it's understanding for each individual. Many health concerns and relationships, Father, we just ask that you will touch each one in a way that's give us the patience. Find that quiet place and listen to you. If there's any unspoken prayer requests at this time, you will answer each one in a way also that's we can just be patient and listen for you. And Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the Christmas service and pray for peace on earth. Be with our military men and women at this time, Father. Just take away the loneliness that any of our neighbors may have or that our service individuals may have also, Father. We just thank you and praise you in a country that we can truly be free. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. At this time, will the ushers come forward, please? Also, we have some announcements. So anybody currently have an announcement they want to make to the congregation, this is the time to do it. Don't forget our Christmas Eve service here at 6 o'clock. Everyone's welcomed for a candlelight service. So is there evening service tonight, Alan? No evening service. Tomorrow, okay? So if there's no other announcements, we have anniversaries for Barry and Debbie Pauls. Congratulations, Debbie. I'm the hope, love, peace, and joy. That's what she... It'll be 34. And then birthdays, Catherine Smith. Happy birthday, Christmas Day. And also, we have a birthday, Gay Brakeman. You have to share that, Catherine. So congratulations to...
We'll sing Happy Birthday. And then we'll continue on.
I have Ireland. Christmas was celebrated from Christmas Eve to the Feast of Epiphany on January 6th. It was an old tradition that in some Irish houses that people put a tall, thick candle on the sill of the largest window after sunset on Christmas Eve. The candle is left to burn all night to welcome Mary and Joseph. The Feast of the Epiphany was also celebrated in some towns as Women's Christmas. Traditionally, the women got the day off and the men do the housework and cooking.
What child is there today to rest on Mary's love?
I would like us to start this story this morning with you all closing your eyes for just a moment so that you can envision the introduction to this story of the Messiah's birth. The hundreds of sheep were quiet now except for an occasional bleat. Night had fallen, stars were sharp in the nippy sky, and shepherds reclined on the steep hillside above Bethlehem watching their flocks. The men talked quietly, their low voices soothing to the animals. Old man Eliza had spent his lifetime on these sheep fields. Then there was Judah ben Ozri. He was only 20 years old and cynical. His uncle had been imprisoned by Roman occupation troops for some minor offense. When he could, Judah plotted secretly with a unit of zealot guerrillas. David, Israel's greatest king, had been a shepherd on Bethlehem's hills a millennium before. As a teenager, David had defeated the giant Goliath and thrown off the yoke of Philistine tyranny. Judah longed to do the same as David, if only a leader, a deliverer, would come and drive the cursed Romans from the land. Okay, now the scene is set. "The lambs will all die before long," he muttered. "Only the ewes will survive." "Eh?" said Elias, a bit too loudly. His hearing had faded over the years. So Judah spoke a bit louder. "The ewes will be sheared next summer and bear more lambs, but the lambs themselves..." "What?" asked Eliza, leaning closer. "The lambs," said Judah loudly into his ear, "won't live beyond Passover. In Jerusalem, in the temple, Jerusalem temple, they sacrifice a lamb for each family. A Passover in the temple," returned Elias. "On the holy day, they'll sacrifice a lamb for each family." Jerusalem and its temple were just 6 miles north of Bethlehem, and supplying lambs for the Passover sacrifice was these shepherds' livelihood. "Passover," reflected the old man. "I wish I could have seen the first Passover." Elias would rather talk than listen, since it was hard for him to catch the words when others spoke. "Moses was our deliverer on that first Passover night when God's judgment fell upon Egypt." As he spoke, his listeners could picture the destroying angel that had passed through Egypt. The Egyptian firstborn were killed, said Elias. But each Israelite slave family had sacrificed a precious lamb and put its blood across the top and on both sides of their doorway. Their sins were atoned for, the lamb's life for theirs, and God's terrible judgment passed over them. The ewes will live on, repeated Judah, but the lambs will be sacrificed. What? Said Elias, but Judah didn't say it again. I don't think I'd like to be a lamb, the youngest shepherd said solemnly. The shepherds now fell silent and tugged their heavy cloaks about them to shelter them from the whistling winds. Their eyes were accustomed to the blackness. For every few moments they would look up to scan the hills for wolves or thieves. They weren't about to lose sheep by carelessness. All of a sudden, their hillside was flooded by the light of 1,000 arc lamps, blinding them with its intensity. When they could finally see, a man in shining apparel stood before them. Don't be afraid, he declared in the ringing voice of the herald. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a deliverer has been born to you. He is the Messiah. The Messiah, the deliverer, breathed Judah. He has come at last to set our people free. They could scarcely comprehend. Good news, great joy in the town of David. The Son of David is born this night. The Lord's Messiah, the shining man glowing with the very Shekinah glory of God, had declared it. It must be so. The angel continued, This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. What a strange sign. But there was no time to think. Now the shining angel drew himself to full height, and as he opened out his arms, the radiance and the glory upon him began to spread until it covered rank after rank of angels, the heavenly hosts, the army of God himself, more and more, company after company, battalion after battalion, began to fill the sky. And now they began to chant, to shout in unison, Glory to God in the highest! The sound bounced off the hills and echoed from the valleys like the rumble of thunder, like the roar of a great waterfall. The shout of triumph reverberated. The shout of worship, the shout of honor, the shout of glorious praise. Glory to God in the highest, they shouted together with one enormous voice of worship. Glory to God in the highest, they chanted in unison. The overwhelming renaissance blotted out everything else and infecting shepherds with its utter joy. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth shalom, peace to those whom God has favored. Again and again, the wave of praise rolled over the hillside until finally the voices began to fade, and only in the distance could the shepherds still hear shouts of glory, 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 that finally diminished to silence at last. The brilliant light, too, was fading, like the final streak of sunlight dipping below the horizon and painting the clouds red and pink in departing splendor. Old Elias was the first to speak. Praise the Lord, dear friends. We have witnessed what the prophets only dreamed of. Angels, breathed the youngest. The host of God's army, said Judah. Something greater still, Elias said. The chance to see the Lord's Messiah with our own eyes. You heard the angels. He's here, yonder in Bethlehem, and we must find him. The angels told us how, a baby, wrapped in swaddling bands of a newborn, lying in a manger, repeated the old man. You could find dozens of cattle troughs if you searched all the outlying farms, but a manger with a newborn lying in it, that was a sign. In Bethlehem itself, Elias could think of just one inside a cave at the very edge of town where travelers' animals were quartered. The old man careened down the hillside at a pace that left the younger shepherds breathless. He was ahead of them now, almost running to the cave behind the inn. When they finally caught up, the old man was standing at the doorway to the cave, with tears streaking down his cheeks. "The Son of David," he was saying, "the Lord's Messiah, the Deliverer, has come." The shepherds moved inside and knelt at the manger, peering at the sleeping baby boy, all tightly wrapped in swaddling bands. The youngest explained to the mother, "An angel told us," he stammered, "and then thousands, millions of angels filled the sky, lit up with God's light. Glory to God," they shouted, and we joined them until we were hoarse, until they were gone. Then Elias addressed her, "Young woman, mother of this blessed child, you are one of the favored ones of whom the angel spoke, upon whom God's glory and grace is resting tonight." You could see her lips form the words, "Yes, I know," but no voice came. The old shepherd went on, "The angel told us that your child is God's promised Messiah, our deliverer." Then the old man was silent. He just knelt there for a few more moments, and finally he rose, took the mother's hand, and pressed it with his own. "God has entrusted you to raise his own son, my dear. Our prayers are with you." He motioned his compatriots toward the door, and they got up, leaving the cave and in its manger and its Christ child. Nor were the shepherds silent about what they had seen. They spread the good news far and wide. Then they went back to their flocks and carefully tended lambs that were destined for sacrifice on Passover. And though they could not know or understand it, the baby deliverer in the manger would not challenge the Roman oppressor, but instead he deliver us from the sin and death that oppress us all. For these lamb herders had seen God's lamb, born to be a Passover sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Shalom for us all.
Thank you. biggest celebrations is St. Lucia Day on December 13th. The celebration comes from stories that were told by monks who brought Christianity to Sweden. St. Lucia was a young Christian girl who was killed for her faith in 304. It was said that she would secretly bring food to Christians in Rome who lived in hiding in the catacombs under the city. She would wear candles on her head so she had both hands free to carry things. Early in the morning on December 13th, the eldest daughter of families, with the help from her mother, if she needs, portrays Lucia. Dressed in white with a crown of lighted candles on her head, she wakens the rest of the family with a tray of freshly baked breads, cookies, and pastries, coffee, and hot chocolate. As she serves the treats, she reminds her family the reason we celebrate Christmas is that the light of the world is Jesus. It is part of the Advent. St. Lucia Day is also celebrated in Denmark, Norway, Finland, Bosnia, and Italy. The main Christmas meal is eaten on Christmas Eve. This is often a buffet eaten at lunchtime. Presents are normally exchanged on Christmas Eve. People often go to church early on Christmas morning. Straw is used as a decoration in homes to remind them that Jesus was born in a manger. Families sometimes have goats made of straw in the house to guard the Christmas tree. Christmas tree decorations are made of straw are also very popular. Another popular thing is to watch Donald Duck on Christmas Eve afternoon. Every year since 1959 at 3 p.m. on Christmas Eve, TV stations show the Disney special From All of Us to All of You. In Swedish, it's Donald Duck and his friends wishing you a Merry Christmas. About 40 to 50% of all people in Sweden stop to watch Donald Duck.
We light up that Christmas light, a present for today. Let all the people shine across the heavens from this way. Yes, over land and sea, joyful message brings.
God see how much you mean to your family and your friends. I'm asking him to remind you of all the laughter and strength, kindness and wisdom you've shared, and to realize what a difference you've made to so many. And I'm asking God to make sure you know what a blessing it is for me to know someone like you and be able to tell you how very much you mean. Have a wonderful Christmas and bless you here. Signed by the and then... Mark your calendars. Hey, cool. We are registered for the Coeur d'Alene Resort for a family life conference. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, we're here to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Don't forget to get potatoes and chairs.
Please.
It's an easy way to go share your life. And we thank you all for coming. What a wonderful thing to have the children here today and everything. And I will close this with prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we do thank you for the laughter and joy that we hear in the children's voices and everything, Lord, that they can be a part of this worship service. May we be a light to our families, to our children, to teach them, to train them up, to teach them about your love, your faithfulness, and the fact that a God who is so sovereign and so great would humble himself and give us his Son to die for our sins. We thank you for the love that you have given us through Jesus Christ, the joy that we have, the hope that we have, and the peace that comes through Jesus, that gift that you have given to us by knowing you through Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray by your Spirit that you guide and lead us to be the people that you have called us to be a light to this world. And we just thank you and praise you for the time that we can celebrate with our family and friends all the gifts that you have given us. We praise your name in the name of the Son. Amen.